This episode of WDW Today is brought to you by Off to Neverland Travel. If you're planning your next vacation, reach out to them. They've really helped us out, and we want you to help them out as well. Patronize them and use them and tell them you heard about us right here on WDW Today. All you got to do is go to their websites. Go to neverland.com. Make sure you use that domain. We know many of you have reached out, but use that domain because it helps them track how many people are listening to the show. And look, I know how many people are listening, and it's lots of you guys. And you'll reach out to them. See what they can do something for you. So the website is go to neverland.com, and they'll help you plan your next vacation, as Will likes to say.
All you got to do is pack.
All you got to do is pack. Go to neverland.com.
Give me a little intro there, Gomer.
Bringing the world to your world. This is WDW Today, coming to you from somewhere off property at the Laugh-O-Gram Studios, featuring Len Testa and the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Now here they are, Terry Weaver, the nature boy Will Haynes, and your host, Logan Seculo.
It's Wednesday, July 6th of 2016, and this is episode 1519. Yes! Actually, 1519.
That's right. Last week was faux 1519.
It was, you know how they have like days like backwards day? It was act like it's 1519 day.
Yeah.
And we were really just a week behind, and I just messed up.
The best part about that is that we like debated it, and we're like, oh, it actually is 1518.
Yeah.
And then for some reason, you got away with saying it, and no one caught it.
No. And why go and spend the time to recut it? It just would take too long.
Right.
And we didn't even do 1519. We took a little trip. What is it actually?
It's in 1814. So we could continue doing it for hundreds more episodes.
No, until we get to 20.
No, until 1814.
No,
until
I like it better in the teen zone. 1513, 1514.
Oh, yeah, I guess. 1520. That's a little harder.
Yeah.
So next week, it's already dead.
It's over.
It's over.
So, I killed it already anyways because I did it so many times.
Well, there you go, folks. Today we're going to be talking about, who knows, we'll see where we go up to. I have been looking, a lot of news weirdly broke last week and a lot of rumors. You guys talked to us about covering Future World a little bit more because Future World is in desperate need of some refurbishment and some love. And some weird kind of news broke like four or five times different things happened, whether that was beyond Future World, whether that was the Muppets coming to the Magic Kingdom, which felt strange but also kind of cool.
Does it feel like someone's just messing with us now?
Well, I mean, some of this is, look, it's rumors. And I think that's really what we're talking about. We're talking about straight up rumors, how clear you take rumors and how true they are. You know, there are sources that, look, we all have. A lot of them do come out to be true. A lot of them are leaked to see what audience reaction. So that's why I do think you have to be aware with rumors what you're reading online. Whatever's confirmed doesn't mean it, but a lot of the times it does. A lot of the times it means it's coming.
So you're trying to tell me that it's not going to be Guardians of the Galaxy Under the Sea?
Not Under the Sea, no. But I think Guardians, here's what I'd say. I would bet anyone who's listening right now. Actually, no, one of you, because if it's like 1,000 of you come in, I can't pay it out. I would bet.
Odds are terrible.
So you're saying it's not a sure thing?
That within the next year, we will get an announcement of a Guardians of the Galaxy attraction somewhere. I do think there's a high chance that the last one that came out, not the Mission Space Guardians, but the Ellen Guardians, is highly likely. And I know there's outrage about it. How do you guys feel about that? About it being taking an Epcot attraction, especially in Future World, and making it entertainment-based IP?
Here's the thing for me. They already ruined Epcot for me when they put Frozen in. So I think, yeah, make it entertainment-based. I really don't. It doesn't bother me as a Epcot purist.
Yeah.
And I feel like if anyone was going to get mad, it'd probably be me. I feel like that they lost a lot of that charm by not keeping those things updated in those areas anyways.
Yeah, I mean, it's been Ellen since the mid-90s.
Right.
Before that, it was just the Universe of Energy, and it's pretty much the same thing, except for now there's an Ellen animatronic from the 90s.
Yeah, so I feel like if I were to like really be upset, it's because they'd continually updated it, and all of a sudden this latest update is pop culture related, you know.
Yeah.
But to me it's like, no, okay, I feel like they've gone away from it. The truly educational aspect of Epcot is kind of gone anyways. Yeah. They still can have those things like Living with the Land. Those things are cool. Leave those. Have that. But I mean, Future World is, what's more futuristic than Guardians of the Galaxy?
Yeah, well, except it takes place now. Here's my thought. I think Guardians, to me, I want Guardians to come. I'm a huge, it's my favorite Marvel movie, and I really do want to see that appear in the parks. Epcot, there is that educational side of it that is sadly going away, but somewhat, you're talking about an attraction. who I couldn't even tell you a hardcore Disney fan that goes to every time they go. It's an hour attraction, probably.
When was the last time you remember riding that ride?
I have genuinely no idea.
The last time I literally can remember riding that ride, my little brother was in middle school, and he just got married a few months ago. And the only reason we rode the ride that day, it was over 100 degrees, and there was no wait, and it was instant air conditioning.
Yeah, I actually was listening to Ears of Steel this week, and with Mark Scott, he mentioned that he started talking about it because of what we talked about in the Beat the Heat episode. So now it's like coming full circle. We're referencing a show, referencing a show, referencing us. You know, we talked about that. It was a great way to beat the heat, but it was also such a long show with really the dinosaurs being the payoff, and the dinosaur animatronics aren't what they were, and they're not exactly up to date, and it's a long, long chunk of your day now gone when it should be, you know, sadly an attraction like that needs to last no more than 15 minutes at most if it's going to be this big show, maybe 20 if we're talking about something like Hall of Presidents. And it has to be great. You know, it has to be a great attraction. It sadly has not been updated. And the educational side's interesting. That's an interesting point of view because Epcot to me as a kid was the boring park, was the park I didn't really want to go to. That's obviously switched a lot as an adult to be the number one park I want to go to. A lot of that has had to do with the fact that they've upped the game when it comes to rides, whether it's Soarin' or Mission Space, or, which I don't like, but at least it's there, Test Track. And it doesn't really bother me with Guardians. And here's kind of my thought about it. I don't like I never minded the characters in Epcot. I was not alive, really, or not alive, but I was never really cognizant of when there weren't characters in Epcot, so that was never really something that offended me. But with Guardians, to me, with people saying, well, it's a non-educational thing in Future World, we had all these different things, Universe of Energy. Well, tell that to Captain EO, which you know, everyone was excited about coming back, you know, was it 6-7 years ago, saying, Captain EO's coming back, we can't wait. You know, and I love Captain EO, and there's not an educational second in Captain EO.
You know, for me, it people that are upset about this should be equally as upset about Frozen in Norway.
And they are.
Well, I mean, I know I am, but I'm just saying, clearly Disney is seeing, oh, we had huge success in the Epcot Park of using one of our intellectual properties.
Popular properties.
To use for a ride. Yeah, we can have an hour's worth of waits, people like clamoring to come to the park.
Sure, why not?
Okay, yeah, let's do it in Future World. Let's do it over here.
And people said, well, I would like it if it wasn't at Epcot. Well, realistically, at this point, where are you going to place it? You know, the Magic Kingdom already has had a major update the last few years. Hollywood Studios, what, you want to shut something else down to build another attraction? Then you move to Animal Kingdom, obviously going through that. Epcot's the next logical place that has to be built upon. So why not? It'd be, yes, I understand. I totally understand the point of view of it not helping the Epcot vision. But as we talked about, the Epcot vision was never really the Epcot vision.
Right. And I think we always hear in the Disney community about this idea of what would Walt have done. You know,
Walt would have built Epcot.
Walt would have, there'd be hotels there. Now you could live at Epcot.
You could live,
Which some people do. But the one thing that really...
People live at Epcot?
Well, the people there that are Epcot people that are there all the time.
Oh, I thought you meant people live at Epcot. Isn't there a story, and maybe I'm wrong, about a woman who owned property in Epcot? It was like the one holdout. So there was a house, maybe it was in Hollywood, maybe it was in Magic Kingdom, I think it was in Epcot. There was actually a house of this person, and the mail had to come specifically, and it was like on property.
Pretty sure you're thinking of old Kingdom Keepers.
No, I think it's real.
I think this was in Kingdom Keepers. There was a man that lived in the fire station in Kingdom Keepers.
The old man.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's an urban legend. I'm not sure if it's true or not.
I'm putting the burden of proof on you for this.
All right, I'll
I'm
look
not
it up
Googling it.
So the thing that upsets me about Epcot and Future World more than anything is the fact that it's not the future anymore. It's the past. If there's one thing that Walt Disney was passionate about, and if you go anywhere on Disney property, if you go to Imagineering, if you watch Disney movies, if you've seen Meet the Robertsons, Walt was passionate about moving forward. And when you walk around Future World, it's depressing. It's depressing to go to Body Wars during Food and Wine and go in there and go, wow, I could be having a great time in this attraction right now. But instead, I'm looking at
a wall. Yeah, and I guess the future is not the future anymore, I think is the truth. And you're going to be battling that.
Well, because they don't even refer to it as the experimental prototype community of tomorrow anymore. It's just Epcot. It's not Epcot Center anymore.
When you look at Future World in general, I think technology moves so quickly from the 80s to now I mean, we're talking only about a 30-year time span, 85 to 2016 or 86 to 2016. The amount of changes happened in that 30 years couldn't have been anticipated.
No.
So the problem is that's not going to stop. Yes, there are certain things like, okay, we're going to have cell phones forever. And yes, that tech is going to change, but that's just going to be standard. But it's the same with the Carousel Progress ending, where it's going to be impossible to predict the future so much where you're not going to be able to make, you know, these attractions that could last. Now, Ellen Energy Adventure has been open for nearly or more than 20 years, and you're not going to be able to continually do that. So the only way really to get around the idea of Future World is to sadly say it's not Future World anymore, and to move into things like using Marvel characters, Disney characters, and throwing them in, because the future isn't readily available in our mind's eye. You know, you can't really think of what exactly is coming. Even the future of, you know, think about Back to the Future, the 2015 Back to the Future. Yes, we're not there, but we are totally in a different side of the world. There's still a payphone in that 2015. You know, we're in a totally different side of that universe, to where these attractions take years and years and years to build. They can't afford them to then be outdated
changing too quickly
in 10 years.
And on top of that, I feel like a lot of kids that would be going there, when I was there, looking at a computer or a car or a hybrid car was like mind blowing. I couldn't believe that.
Even a speakerphone.
Yeah. It's like, oh, that'll never, ever happen. Or I really hope it does. Now a kid will be like, meh, calling the bluff on this one. Yeah.
Why Spaceship Earth? They took out that entire last quarter of the ride when you're going downhill, showing you what the future of technology looks like, because my kids' video games do play everyone else's video games. I do talk with my son every day, just did, on FaceTime. You know, so to predict that future is a little bit harder for it to be cool. I think that's also, you can predict what the future is, but the future that we can predict may not be as stimulating as the future of the past.
Yeah, which is what I mean by the kids saying meh to something like that. It's just like, no, I'm actually going to just look down at my iPhone instead of this exhibit.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of iPhone, you know, my favorite person in the Spaceship Earth is the lady with the massive fro in the computer room. And we all have phones that are more powerful than that computer was.
Yeah.
And the technology is moving fast. And Epcot, it's disappointing when you walk around and you see things that are like, wow, that's like, there's nothing there. There's nothing. I mean, you guys gave me a hard time for forgetting, like, interventions, whatever, you know, the word.
Because you aren't going in there.
I don't go in there.
It doesn't matter anymore. Right, exactly.
I'll walk through there if it's raining, maybe, and I'll go through and go, when something new opens, and go, nope, that was still a waste of 20 minutes that I could have been,
Epcot,
you know.
Epcot, to me, is World Showcase and Spaceship Earth.
Right.
And sadly, everything in between is I don't ever really experience. Sometimes my son will go to the character spots.
Which is exactly it. Which is why Disney is thinking, hey, what can we throw in here?
And Guardians, God, I'll wait in line all day. I mean, Guardians, I love that movie with all my heart. So I'm so excited if that actually comes true anywhere on property.
They could just do a Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck would be fine too, yeah. But I mean, I love that. I think it's a great fit for Disney. God, it's a much better fit than Avatar, because it's has that sort of nostalgic pull to it, even though it's new, and definitely has its fans. And man, my son knows those characters. He's three and a half. He knows Star-Lord, Gamora, Drax, Rocket, and Groot, and he knows them. And he's never really even seen the movie. He just knows of them from cartoons and from pop culture. So he'd even be excited.
And Disney Infinity.
Right. Rest in peace.
Let's talk.
I spot my last Disney Infinity character. God, it was almost like torturous. It was like, it felt horrible.
Or was it kind of like, okay?
No,
fine.
No.
Okay.
Because I know, hopefully there's some Infinity players out there. You know, it's sad because you see what they were going to come up with next year. There's some really awesome concepts for Infinity. And I'm not necessarily the hugest fan, but my son is. And it's been a fun time collecting them. I wish there were less characters. But it has been a fun thing searching for those more rare ones and all that. It's sad to see it go. So a love to our friends at Disney Interactive. I wish Infinity could have lasted much longer.
So here's a thought about Frozen. For years, there's been nothing more frustrating than finding a new Disney movie, falling in love with the characters, and going, I can't experience it in the parks. And for the first time,
they fast track.
And for the first time in forever, you could experience Frozen in massive ways right away. I mean, it was all over the park.
Yeah.
It wasn't just
And rightly so. I mean, it was a...
It was the biggest animated film of all time.
We're not just going to put Baymax in a corner. You can literally experience...
Nobody puts Baymax in the corner. That's a shirt. That's our next shirt.
That is the next shirt.
It's just Baymax trying to squeeze into a corner.
Yes. Someone make that happen. So, I want to design in Logan's email.
Which we're going to talk about the new shirt at the end of the show.
So, you know, the fact that Disney is starting to realize, you know, I would love to go to a Wreck-It Ralph attraction. I mean, that would be a great fit.
Yeah, I
would
love when they took him out of meet and greet.
Even. Yeah, I mean, he was a fantastic Baymax even. I'd love to see those characters that I think would fit Future World.
Or you could put Baymax. Now, this is something, again, I'm going to give all props to my buddy Bart Scott, Ears of Steel, because I just got done listening to his podcast.
Clearly, Logan only is...
I steal whatever he does.
Exactly.
No one knows that, but hey, I'll give him all the credit. He brought up do you think we'll see a... attraction that are, you know, attractions in, let's get off of Future World into World Showcase. Now that the success of Frozen, will each pavilion have an attraction? And easily, Baymax could fit in Tokyo. You have Ratatouille going to France.
No freaking way.
Now, I'm not saying that you don't want it to. I'm saying, do you think it will happen? Because we've seen now 500-minute waits and Frozen becoming a huge thing.
You know what? I would love to go into Morocco after eating at Marrakesh in the middle of the afternoon and to walk out the door and to experience an Aladdin dark ride.
Except for the fact that Aladdin didn't take place in Morocco.
Well
you got to put it some
area of the world.
Mm-mm. Nope. One was Asia, one was... Morocco is Africa.
They put him in, though.
And Saudi Arabia.
Aladdin does walk around there, though. Aladdin and Jasmine.
West Asia.
I'm saying he resides there currently. If you're to meet Aladdin often, you can meet him in the Morocco area.
I know, and I always laugh at it and go, ha, 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 racist.
Yeah, so the answer is Will says no. But I
say no. Will it probably happen? I could see it happening.
But you could also roll Baymax in, like you said, a Future World, in an educational point of view. That entire film is essentially, you know, pressing the need of education. You could put it there, and it'd still be an educational
attraction. And I think that would be great. I think it would be awesome, actually, there. It's pushing innovation for children. Right, right, yeah.
And it can be a little bit more in the realm of science fiction.
Where Body Wars, Baymax edition. Are you satisfied with it?
I kind of like that.
I wonder if it's all... Is it all sitting there still? Is it all just back behind that wall, or do they got it? I'm sure they got it.
I think recently, it's in the last 3 or 4 years, I think it's gone.
It's gone.
There is a website out there where someone like got a GoPro over the wall or whatever and like showed what was left. And
that's sad.
I can't get the freaking My Little Pony theme song out of my head.
Why?
Because I have nieces that have been here all weekend. Keep going.
No, leave that in. I want to know. So is it the Friendship is Magic, or is it...
Friendship is Magic, yeah. It's not like My Little Ponies, My Little Pony. Except for one of my nieces goes...
Wonderful
one of my nieces goes, My Little Pony smells like balonies.
Probably. She just, every time?
Every single time. There was a weird thing yesterday where I'm watching an episode where Twilight Sparkle moves into the castle because her library exploded, but I didn't see the previous episodes, and I found myself not knowing what season or anything. Like, oh, I wonder what happened to the library. That was kind of a cool place. And, like, reading all these, like, going through plot lines of seasons, and then I'm like, oh, dear Lord. Oh gosh, I got to stop this now. I don't need to know.
Say Twilight Sparkle.
I've only watched a few episodes. My day. There is that bit, like, I am so not a brony, but they're well written shows.
I had the problem. Like, yeah. I mean, these plot lines are pretty compelling.
Yeah,
I get the problem.
Where were we? Epcot, Future World.
Sorry, I don't know why that. I know why. It's stuck in my head, and I can't. I keep almost bursting out into it.
And you guys did a nice duet of that. That was cute.
Yeah,
it was nice.
Me and Will.
Yeah,
yeah. He didn't even know the second verse.
All I know, because my niece keeps saying it smells like bologna.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
If you could do anything in Future World, what would you do? One attraction, you get to do it.
You mean do it or build it? Build,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Like,
if you're going to create an attraction.
Are you talking just doing it right now? Frozen, just so I don't have to wait in the line.
you are the head Imagineer. What are you going to
do to Future World?
Do to Future World.
Man, I don't know. I like that Baymax idea. I mean, I love Big Hero 6, too. I'm a Big Hero 6 fan. I'm a fan of the Guardians. So, I mean, I don't know. I'm not... I haven't had time to think about it, Terry. Thanks for putting me on the spot. Will, what do you think?
I think that when you guys said the Baymax thing, that really clicked in my head. I'm like, that would be awesome. And it would make me not skip over Future World. I would go there right away.
And we're getting Ralph, too. So I wonder if there's something. I mean, there's got to be something in line. Probably not an attraction, but another meet and greet, I'm sure. Because Ralph goes to the internet and battles Amazon and Google and everything.
Really?
Yeah, it's Ralph Destroys the Internet or something like that. It's going to be fun.
Wow, that sounds exciting.
Clearly.
Okay. That was very NPR.
You know, the Land Pavilion, I think, would be a cool place to do something a little more pop culture-y because of, like, the environment and stuff. I don't know, like, Zootopia, I don't think that would fit, but something, you pull in a new thing.
Or that's a city section.
City section. I don't know. I was just throwing that out there, but just something, it could be cool that you could add to that. You could really add to it and make it not as hyper-educational. Yeah. Add a little Disney property aspect to it, and I think that could be cool.
Jazz up some stuff.
I think if I was given the task of doing just one thing, the first thing I would do is something with Figment that's awesome.
Oh, true. Yeah. Hopefully that happens. Yeah, but definitely
Dreamfinder 2.0.
Yeah, redoing everything going on in the Imagination Pavilion, including that DVC thing. And I think we talked about, did we ever talk about that, the DVC lounge?
I think it was mentioned slightly.
Okay, guys.
I can't remember.
So build up. I'm preaching to my DVC friends over here. You build up to, we're going to have a lounge in the Imagination Pavilion. And I'm like, that's awesome. I remember going up there playing video games and everything that happened on ImageWorks or whatever. Was it ImageWorks? Yeah. You know, I just remember it as a kid. So I'm like, oh, that's going to be cool. They can really do some great stuff. Instead, I'm watching a live stream of one of our podcast friends or competitors. I'm like, all right, let's see the reveal. And it looks like an airport lounge.
That's what it's supposed to be. That's what they...
But like, that's like a nice airport lounge or like a crappy airport lounge? Because there is a difference.
Like, it looks, well, every desk has an iPad Pro on it. It has a Coke freestyle machine.
Free booze?
No alcohol, I believe.
Yeah.
Charging stations. It just.
Printer.
There's a printer.
You can print,
like, you can print
your boarding pass.
Your boarding pass. It's meant just really to be a place where you can go and get out of it.
Beat the heat. You know, any hors d'oeuvres? Any little snacky options?
So.
No snacks? Nothing to eat.
That is not a lounge. That is a room.
I don't know. I was really hoping. Like I'm no DVC man, but you can get me on perks. You can get me on exclusivity. That's my weakness.
If there's a club Logan can go to,
I'm going
to
join it. And when I was like, all right, they can make this awesome to where I have to plunk down 50K or something crazy because I want to be able to go to this lounge. And it was just a lounge. And that's fine.
It's no top of the world.
Why build it up to be so like they built the thing up. They promoted it. Like, we were going to do something in there. And why not make the furniture? I mean, it's pretty. It's fine. The furniture is nice. But they could have done, and there's still some sort of 80s vibe to some of the furniture. But they could have really made it fun. And look, if there's anything that I'm sure a DVC member is looking for, is subtlety. You're looking for Disney being Disney. They could have had a really good time with it. Instead of it's a few couches and, you know.
But have you ever been to a lounge at Disney of any kind that was just like, wow?
Well, no.
Besides.
And that's one of the reasons he's not a DVC member.
No, but I mean, any of the, like, things they've done for card holders or for...
Yeah, I've done like American Express lounges and stuff at Universal and at some of the Disney too. And yeah, no, they're fine. That's what they are. They are just a traditional lounge. I was just expecting more. It's a giant space and I was expecting it to be a blast and be something I'd want to pay for. It just isn't.
So what
you
about...
You have no rebuttal on that.
I don't. So what,
like, where's Figment? Why is Figment not hanging out in the
if
lounge?
If Figment was serving you food...
Oh, man.
Done.
I would not...
Drinks.
Even... That would all that I would need.
That's
from
how you.
World.
That's how you'd get me to be a DVC.
The drink
member.
Finder.
It's the drink finder.
I didn't come up with that.
Oh my god.
That's another. That's the drunk at Disney or drunk on Disney podcast. Also, okay. Bart Scott.
But if it was the drink finder,
yeah.
And Figment is serving you drinks as your bartender. Oh my gosh. I'll ride Frozen. I don't care. Just as long as you can get me close to that Figment.
Well, after you see Figment, then you'll be prepared.
Where's the dragon? Bring me that little dragon.
Show me the dragon.
Chase the dragon. Oh, man.
So speaking of EO, what about the whole like Pixar and chill thing that's next to it there? The,
can't say okay, that.
First of all.
You clearly don't know what that means.
I know what it means.
I didn't for a while.
What does it mean, Terry?
It means the opposite of what I
what
thought
it
meant.
What does it mean, Terry? What's Pixar and chill mean?
Chill, but
it doesn't mean chill. I thought, I saw like people saying that. I was like, oh, I do that every day, which I don't. You know, I watch a lot of Netflix. So I was, but yes, I okay, to go off of that, Pixar, I haven't been over there since it's, have you gone to it?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
It's like a Pixar short film.
There's
festival,
like, you go where EO was.
And they're calling it Pixar and Chill?
No.
It's the Disney short festival.
It's a short film festival. It's all the shorts from Disney and Pixar years.
You know, you go to a Pixar or Disney movie and you see the little short. Like, and they just pick three random ones and you watch them back to back.
This is where?
Where EO was.
I'm still stuck on what was said earlier. I can't, like, none of this is computing. So
where EO was, you show
movies.
No, I get
that now. Yeah, I
and
get
there's
it.
4D elements, right? So are there, like, you know, like water didn't spray at you or anything?
I don't remember it being wow. Like, your chair might have moved, but it definitely wasn't.
I've gone. I would like to go. I love those movies, but I don't. It would definitely be one of those attractions also that's kind of throwaway. Like La Luna, those, I'd love to see those on a big screen again. And,
yeah, La Luna was one of the ones. It was La Luna and then the one that was like the old Mickey short that they kind of like
ride
made
a horse.
Ride a horse, yeah.
I love those shorts, so I'm fine with it, but it's not, it's definitely a,
it's not,
it's
something
a
you
want
to, it's not something when you're paying $100 a day to go to a place that you want to.
I already have in my home video collection. I felt that way with Shrek too. They did a Shrek 4D at Universal. They just released the ride. It was like, well, this is weird. One thing I would like to see there is, they did it out, I think they did it there for a little while, but they did it out in California. We were there for Tough to Be a Bug when they replaced, or maybe they replaced Tough to Be a Bug. No, that wasn't California. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With what we saw, Maleficent preview. Yeah. Like, I wish they would just do that every time. If you're going to do that thing, because that was really cool. It was like 20 minutes of the movie, fully 4D, lighting, sound, everything. And that was pretty cool.
They're doing that right now with something at One Man's Dream. I forgot what they're previewing there.
That's right. But that's a good spot for it, I feel like, in Epcot. Like, that's a cool spot for it. Not One Man's Dream, not taking over that theater. I love that video. But to put it there, because that's, it already has the 4D element.
Yeah, just show the, that'd be great. I mean, I'm fine with that because
it'd be revolving something new, something you can't see at home.
Yeah, an experience.
Yeah, and right now it's just, you know, Honey, I Shrunk the Audience.
Honey, I Shrunk the Movie to a short.
That is kind of funny. They went from how long is EO? EO felt like it was like 45 minutes. I think EO was like 30 minutes. And they're like, all right, what else can we do? How about a 3-minute short film?
Back to back.
Oh, so
you see three in a row.
Okay. Yeah, that's a waste of time. Yeah. I mean, I love those movies, but it's a waste of time. Was anyone else in the theater when you were there?
Six people in the theater.
Yeah, see, I mean, that's a
and
thing.
We went the first week it was open.
I don't understand.
Why are you just phoning it in with these things?
Right, like, why not build, like, put a cool video in there that's exclusive that couldn't cost you a ton of money?
Like, you know, they've got these things called Imagineers.
Or like that preview center. Like, why not do that every time for something? Because at least that's, like, we saw Maleficent. I think it was full. We saw,
yeah.
So why not show stuff like that and have an interested audience? Instead, it's just back to EO, which EO was full the first month, and then it was dead for the rest of the run.
I think
Maleficent thing was one of the weirdest, like, mind trips.
It was really cool.
Because I didn't know what we were walking into or why we were there, and then all of a sudden we watched this really incredible trailer.
Like a 20-minute trailer.
Yeah, and I'm just like, what just happened?
Well, I think it was the trip that you took as he went from, like, it's Tough to Be a Bug Land or whatever, and, you know, the popsicle.
Yeah, it was
everywhere.
Yeah,
and you go into Maleficent.
Right, you pop out, and they're like, hey, come on in. And
yeah.
I think the one thing that all of this Epcot, it's very obvious that Epcot is the next park that's going to get every other park has had a major expansion.
Yeah, it's coming.
It's coming.
I think it will be Guardians. I think those things are going to happen. I really do. I would be willing to I'm not going to bet again the audience, but I'd be willing to think it's clearly Epcot coming next. The next big after two parks that are still not done are done. But I think you'll see maybe sooner than later those attractions starting to shut down and rebuild. Maybe they'll do that a little bit shorter, like the individual attractions.
I mean, the good news is a lot of these attractions, no one's even going to know if they close them down. It's
right.
Like closing
it's
down.
Faux outrage. It's outrage over the idea of...
Foutrage.
It's foutrage of the idea of Epcot just getting a non-educational attraction. At least Maelstrom had its hardcore fans. Was there any confirmation that Patrick Warburton is in old...
Yeah, same pre-show.
They're just exactly the same.
Exactly the same.
Also weird.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Look, Patrick Warburton, happy he's back. I love him. But why go through all that issue, building an entire new sword, and then be like, you know what? No pre-show. No new pre-show. I kind of like it.
It did need a change.
That's true. It's great.
Probably some just new graphics. Imagine the graphics.
Yeah, you got to see less of California. I guess he never says over California. He just says, welcome to Sword.
Tell us about that new t-shirt.
Oh, yeah. So, hope you guys liked our random commentary. That's what we call Logan experimented, saying, let's not talk about what the topic's going to be and see how it goes. And I actually kind of like
it. It was fun.
Yeah,
was
we
fun.
Sounded like we're actually friends.
Yeah. One person said, whoever in WD, the old cast, sent me a message, decided on the three of you or did a great job because you guys feel like you actually know each other. I was like, they didn't decide that.
And also,
I technically, I guess, kind of decided it, and because I was one in contact with the guys when we did the transfer, and also we know each other really well. We're together every week in person, and Will and I are together every day, so it's what happens.
Multiple hours a day.
Yeah. But new shirt. So last week on the show, we mentioned it came off that, you know, there's a 3 o'clock shower every day, rain shower. And we kind of was joking around with that, you know, the shirt that's the, what time is the 3 o'clock parade? People say that. There's a podcast. We love those guys over at, you know, Drunk at Disney, and some of those guys do that, have the what time is the 3 o'clock parade podcast. And we just made a joke of what time is the 3 o'clock shower. And an amazing artist who's a listener of the show, Chris Williams from Plastic Frame Press, his website is plasticflame.com. He just randomly tweeted us, I believe, or sent me a Facebook message of, hey, I was thinking about this, thinking about you guys, and I whipped up something fun. And it's this awesome design of a family in the classic yellow ponchos getting soaked, and it says, what time is the 3 o'clock shower? I loved it. And I was like, dude, I love this. Can we please make this our next shirt? And he said, absolutely. Sent me the files, and you can get it now. And you know what? Last time, you guys all went to adultwhip.com to get it. Let's just stick it there. All our merchandise is going to go on adultwhip.com from now on, and you can find it there. You also still get the Adult Whip shirt on there as well, but you can get the what time is the 3 o'clock shower, which is probably a more wearable shirt for those of you that don't want to wear something. You still have to explain it, but you don't have to explain it in a way that makes you feel uncomfortable, which some people did with the words Adult Whip and a bottle of rum. And, you know, they felt a little interested about it.
And this one I feel like is a little bit more of a wink and a nod.
This one's for the hardcore Disney fan. Right. Like, it's not a term necessarily we coined like the Adult Whip. It's something that you could read it, and if you're a Disney fan already, you get it. It's funny. I really love the design. Thank you so much. If you guys do have designs for t-shirt ideas, you know, we've been spouting off joke ones, so nobody puts Baymax in the corner.
You know, that's definitely going to be one.
I want to see this because, look, it helps us. We're happy to promote whatever you guys do. If you do get selected, like I told Chris, I'll send you a shirt as our thank you for it, because we really do appreciate it. Helps us keep this show on the air and helps us to see you guys out in the parks wearing them too, so make sure to send pictures.
What air is this show on?
Maybe you were on the
cloud
device
air. Cloud air.
Cloud air. Yeah, iCloud.
Yeah.
No, not iCloud, but
cloud air.
iAir.
All right.
What?
We're moving
so
on.
That's at adultwhip.com still, adultwhip, and you can find our Adult Whip shirts and also our 3 o'clock shower shirts available there right now. And again, just make sure to post pictures if you're in the parks, or even not in the parks. Make sure you're wearing them, because they get shipped out. They're kind of made in bunches, so as people order them, they take about a week and then they'll ship out. Send pictures of them. We'd love to see them. So again, that's at adultwhip.com. All right, we're going to move on now. Listener questions with Lynn?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. We'll be back with listener questions with Lynn. Take a quick break here and tell you about our new friends at Circa 1955. They're a candle subscription by Disney Parks fans for Disney Parks fans, and they've scented candles based on all the attractions, treats, and atmospheres found at Walt Disney World. Now, Terry, you're a member. You have some of those candles.
I do. I've got some of the preview scents. All weekend, my house has smelled like the lobby at the Yacht and Beach Club, and
it's that specific.
Yes,
that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a scent that just, I mean, you literally, there's one that smells literally just like Pirates.
Scents include the iconic water from Pirates, so it kind of has that smell. I know that smell.
Yeah.
It's interesting. The burning smell from Spaceship Earth, old and new Soarin' scents, churros, buttered popcorn, Dole Whips, and much more. Subscriptions start at just $20 a month, and for that, you get 2 scented candles each month. The candles are made from 100% soy wax and metal-free wicks, so they're long-lasting and eco-friendly. And not to mention, they're just good friends and friends of the show. I've always been supportive of what we do here. So we really want you guys to check them out. Their website is circa1955.com. That is CIRCA1955.com. We'll make sure to share it on social as well. Again, check them out. Circa 55, a candle subscription service.
Tell them we sent you.
It's time for listener questions with Lynn.
L. Stalls asks, I have a 10-day DVC reservation from the 25th of September through the 5th of October at the Boardwalk home base, waitlisted at the Polynesian. What are the chances that we get it?
It's at a studio.
Presumably.
Doesn't say.
Yeah. I mean, if you're waiting for a bungalow, you're definitely gonna get in because they're not occupied.
Right.
10 nights at a the length, studio.
The length is what would concern me, Lynn, because it's
yeah.
If they were just trying to like get 4 or 5 days together, that's possible. But man, 10 days yeah, is long.
10 days is a lot. You're only 2 months out now at this point, too, right? July, August, September.
3 months, yeah.
90s, yeah, maybe. So you'll probably hear within 30 days. From what I understand is they make that sort of DVC release to wait list / should I sell this room for cash decision somewhere around the 30-day mark. So that's probably when you'll hear.
Can you guys maybe explain a little bit what that process is? Because I know nothing of the wait list when it comes
to... Yeah, so when you decide that you you want to make a reservation and your preferred choice isn't, you just go on...
not available.
It's not available. You get put on a wait list. And if you're trying to like, a lot of times, you know, we'll use the wait list because we've got the 3 nights and the 4 nights and we need a night to bridge, you know, and
yeah.
Almost every time we've done that. I would actually.
So when you're going for a shorter stay, that's what you're saying. You typically can get it.
I seriously doubt one that they're going to get it. Two, knowing that that's during the beginning of Food and Wine.
Right.
I would rather stay at Boardwalk than the Polynesian, especially if you're going to take part in Food and Wine, because you can literally walk to the Food and Wine kiosks and have dinner and beverages around the world every day.
And that's during our DLP Fest. Yep. Come on out, dlpfest.com. Like I said, take off September 30th and come on down. All right. Michael on Twitter says, if I linked my Disney Visa to my Magic Band, do I get the discount automatically or do I need to show my card?
You still need to show your card.
Simple enough.
And it's actually interesting why, because... if you think about how you can pay your bill, you can actually link your Disney Visa, but then pay in cash every night before they close out the folio for that night, which means if you linked your Visa, you could still get the discount without actually using your Visa.
Very nice.
Yes. So,
good tip, Michael.
So
you know.
So that's why they want you to actually show it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So Michael's all Broadway, Michael.
We like Michael.
Yeah.
The next time I'm up in New York, Michael and I are going to get together for a drink.
Yeah. Good guy.
All right, next question is from Amanda, and she specifically lets us know this one's for you, Len.
Okay.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Any thoughts on when candlelight processional dining will be available? Are the narrators announced yet?
Or are they announced at that point, I guess?
They should be announced around that point. So last year, I believe it was right around the beginning of the second week of July, like around July 8th, that they were announced. So maybe the end of next week? Give or take a day or so because of the holiday, but that's what I expect to hear something.
So definitely keep a watch quickly. And it's always fun. I love the candlelight. It's a beautiful ceremony or whatever you call it, event, theatrical experience.
They probably won't announce all the narrators. They'll probably announce like 6 or 7 of them.
I mean, there's
Stephen
always
Curtis Chapman.
Dory.
There's always a lot of some stuff at the end, right?
It's great, though. If you have an experience, awesome. If you don't want to burn, it's quick dip. You don't want to burn, like, hours on waiting. You honestly can watch the candlelight processional, like, standing right behind the theater. And I've done that 2 or 3 times. And, you know, instead of being like, oh, I don't really care about seeing Gina Davis read this, but I'd like to see the show. It's a good way to see the show without wasting your time.
I've heard that they're for crowd control. They're moving people along now.
Ah, well.
Yeah.
Jerks.
Move along, sir.
Well, sorry, along, Gina Davis. See you in League of Their Own, too. All right. So my tip failed. All right. We need to do updated failed tips. So go ahead, Will. Will you get up, right?
No, Terry's up.
Terry's up. I have no idea where I am right now.
So we got a DVC question here from Patrick. I have rented points for a studio at Animal Kingdom Lodge in Jumbo House. Mm-hmm. Because of the standard view, villa is on par with a non-villa room at rack rates. What are the chances I could get downgraded to a Savannah View regular room, and how would I do that in the touring plans room request?
Downgraded.
I think the chances are zero.
Yeah.
Because they don't ever want to go from DVC inventory to regular room inventory.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard of it happening. And I think, I don't even know how it would be possible. For one thing, they're two vastly different rooms. I mean, I've heard of people being downgraded and then credited.
Yeah,
like but comp. Yeah, comp. But it's. I mean, out of the tens of thousands of people that I've heard in their experience, I think I've heard it like once, twice. You could volunteer, but I think the odds of them taking you up on that offer are probably slim.
So we found
just figuring out.
We found the glitch in the room matrix.
Can't get downgraded.
Only upgrades.
Now the good news for Patrick is that a lot of the standard view studio villas, that are almost everyone that I've ever stayed in Jumbo has had a Savannah view because I've requested it. So when I use touring plans, the room request, you'll be able to tell me the standard ones, particularly the most of them are on the very, 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 very end of the hallway. Mm-hmm. You'll still have some sort of a Savannah view. He can still use the room request to do that, correct?
Sure.
Yeah.
Why not? All right. Hope that helps you, because
70% success rate on that room requester.
Right? Not if you're right downgrading.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. Zero.
0% downgrade.
Patrick, you lose. All right. Mark Lucas wrote and said, I once heard Lynn, I believe you did this, I once heard Lynn say that he was thinking about going a whole year with only ordering appetizers and desserts from table service restaurants. We have decided to do that for some of our ADRs for our upcoming November trip.
Totally do it.
We already have Brown Derby scheduled for the Cobb salad and grapefruit cakes, and Sanaa for bread service, and La Cellier for poutine and cheese soup. Do you have any other suggestions for a chance to get great food off an appetizer and dessert menu?
You know, I really like the appetizer menu pretty much everywhere, but all the signature restaurants have great appetizers.
Is the new Animal Kingdom salad?
Oh, Tiffin's? Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, because we're hearing a lot of good things about that for that.
We talked about it on a previous show.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah. I like the grilled octopus a lot. And in fact, I think there's a couple places now in World where they've got the grilled octopus appetizer as well. I would definitely try that. The thing that I'm finding that Disney's doing really well lately is falafel, right?
Yeah, I've had good falafel.
Love a good falafel.
Straight.
Yeah.
The falafel at Skipper Canteen is fantastic.
That's right. That's where I think I had the best. And so, you know, if you get a chance to try that, I would try that as well. Because that's not something that you would instinctively think that Disney would do really well, but it is. It's good.
Yeah, it's good falafel. If you want the best falafel in Orlando, go down 192 to an area you don't feel comfortable maybe being in, to Jerusalem Restaurant. Knock your socks off.
Near a couple of those scary flea markets.
Yeah. just a fun tip, and they're very nice.
I've got a little Star Wars joke for you guys that this made me think of. What did the Jawa order at La Cellier?
What?
Poutini.
I don't even know what to respond.
Yeah.
I don't do this enough. I don't do enough of the appetizer dessert deals. I need to start doing
it. I should totally do it.
Yeah. I'm more of just a main course and getting out of the way. So in La Cellier, I'll have a salad, you know, something like that.
If the average entree is in the $40 range, the average appetizer still hasn't hit the $20 range. So it's still a little less expensive. Plus, you get a little more variety.
Are you frowned upon?
No, not at all. No.
Just curious. Because that's something to be concerned about. Maybe if you're going to La Cellier, you're thinking, okay, I'm only ordering soup. You know, like, is it going to be something that's... I guess those people just don't care. But to tip it off, Lynn loves that idea. I like the idea, too. I've never done it. Terry likes it. Will's just fine.
All for it.
He's just good with jokes.
Just as long as people laugh at my jokes, I'm happy as a clam.
Can't wait to read the reviews on that one.
Joy Walters says, when upgrading from a park hopper ticket to an annual pass, is there a better ticket to buy from which to upgrade? And she's got very good grammar, but it makes it very difficult to read. Yes. Is there a better ticket?
Right, like a Disney fan.
A better ticket to buy from which to upgrade.
It's the kind of grammar up with which I will not put.
There you go. I recently upgraded a three-day park hopper ticket bought from a reputable third-party agent to an annual pass. Now I'm wondering if I could have saved more by starting with a 5 or 6 day ticket and upgrading from there. I suppose I could do my math myself, but I thought I'd ask Lynn in case touring plans gurus have already done the work for me.
My understanding is they're going to give you the value you paid for the ticket.
If it's from a third party?
Yeah, that's my understanding is that everything is electronic now. So the third party vendors will, since it's an electronic ticket,
Disney's getting aware.
Yeah, Disney should be aware of how much they're paying. You know, worst case scenario, though, is I know there are some third-party vendors that are doing, like, a buy 4 day, get your 5 day free.
Yeah, that's happening a lot now.
Yeah, happening a lot. You could try to buy one of those, just see what happens, and see if they give you the credit for the 4 day, the 5 day. The thing is, once you're at that point, I think the incremental cost is, like, it's like $20 difference. I mean, $20 is $20, but it's still.
And for those third-party sources, there's lots of good ones. We'll try to put some in the show notes so you can find them. And then, also, if you have tickets at work at your office place, a lot of times they offer those, like, you know, get a free day and so on.
Tickets at work is the program specifically,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the company I'm talking about. But there's other ones like that who you don't have to have it there at work.
Yeah.
But they usually have good deals. All right, last question.
So John Duval wants to know, any tips on parking when staying off-site?
I mean, I guess just, is he talking about?
He's probably wanting the real question. I think he's probably
can he steal parking?
How can I get parking and not?
Well,
not
pay? We actually did this for the next edition of the Unofficial Guide, and we kind of went back and forth on it whether we should recommend it or not. But what we came up with is this. And first of all, let me just say we don't recommend this unless you are budgeting down to the penny, like every single dollar counts. Okay, you could drive to Disney Springs, take a bus to a hotel, Disney hotel, and then from there go to the parks and then back. But my God, that's got to be, you know, an hour.
Yeah, it's not worth the time. Or,
right. Your time value there is not going to probably be worth it.
I mean, it's going to be like 2 hours out of your day. And for that, it's, you know, the other thing to do instead of if you don't want to park that far away from the theme parks, and I'm thinking here of the Magic Kingdom,
right,
you could just Uber to the Contemporary and get dropped off. I've done that many times.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about the parking. It's still going to be cheaper from almost anywhere on property than parking.
Sure. Yeah, and to me, if you aren't price conscious, that's not what you're talking about. You're just talking about tips on parking in general. I typically do, and usually a lot of times we do a breakfast or something like that. If you're willing to pay an extra $5-$10 plus tip. You know, a lot of times, especially with the kids, we valet at one of the three monorail resorts. And they're honestly, even if you don't have a reservation, if it's not full, they're usually pretty cool if you're like, I'm here to valet because they're paying more. I've only had them turn me away when it's like, it's genuinely, they have no room. But usually valet, they always have room. But specifically, if you have breakfast, go pay. Because like, I don't feel like that's cheating anyone. That's right, paying $25
for parking.
That's paying more than that. It's not like we're going and parking free. Valet park, and I've done it the Contemporary mainly. Grand Floridian, if I have breakfast there or something like that, but we almost always park at the Contemporary to go to the Magic Kingdom. I can't tell you the last time we went to the Ticket and Transportation Center. It's just kind of been our little tip that we've used throughout the years, especially with the kids, when you can literally throw out your stroller if you're not renting a stroller, and you know, just push them to the gates.
Literally just walk.
Yeah, you just walk to the gates. You don't even have to do it to walk to Magic Kingdom. Though that return, if you do the monorail, the trip will take you like an hour and a half, not return the other way. It's like, okay, I should have walked. So walk if you can. All right. I think that will do it for listener questions. Lynn, we need to have you on for talk about, I know obviously we got into Frozen a little bit, but you know, there's the Star Wars show and there's all this new stuff, and have you and whoever you feel like would be a good representation of your great company touring plans to kind of help people through this new time at Walt Disney World.
I'll bring some people on. It'll be fun.
All right. Well, we'll hopefully do that. All right. That'll do it for this episode of WDW Today. Thank you guys for joining us. Everyone's staring at me right now very viciously. Thanks to the greatest band in podcasting, Off Kilter. Go to their website, offkilter.net, and join them and us in so many other great acts like the British Invasion, Mulch, Sweat, and Shears. So many awesome acts. You're going to want to be a part of it. Come with us September 30th out to the Claremont Performing Arts Center for De Las Puertas Magic Media Music Festival. That's at dlpfest.com. Of course, a special thanks to Off to Neverland Travel. If you're booking next vacation, go to neverland.com. As Will likes to say,
all you got to do is pack.
That's going to do it. I'm Logan Seculo.
I'm Will Haynes.
I'm Terry Weaver.
3 o'clock shower shirts available now at adultwhip.com. We'll talk to you on the next show.